We live in Upper Nyack, right near Hook Mountain. So we have an assundry of animals that come through and around our yard. And I was sitting by the window this past week, and my niece, who my wife watches, was staring out the window with me. And all of a sudden, she sees something. And I didn't see what she saw right away. And then all of a sudden, I realized that she's saying a fox. There is a fox running through our front yard, and just kind of stopped and looked at us as Phoebe, my dog, is barking uncontrollably at her. And then the fox continues to walk away. And it got me thinking, because I love animals. I might be obsessed. I'm not quite sure. I'm fascinated by everything to do with animals. And the reality is that fox and my dog share DNA. They're descended from the same genetic line. Over thousands of years, we've gotten to the point of domesticated dogs. And it got me thinking, in the world in which we live today, we're almost almost very similar to those two. We're viewing one another as different as my dog is from that fox. And we've fostered this environment of an us versus them mentality. And we've been on the book of Proverbs for the last couple weeks. We're going to be in chapter 8 this morning. I think there's some amazing truth to be found in chapter 8, and so we're going to look at that this morning. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. And I think this is, as we navigate through this morning, you'll see what I'm saying in this regard. And it highlights the need for wisdom. And I think every generation needs wisdom, and maybe more so than ever. Maybe we all feel this way, what our generation needs more wisdom than the previous generation. But I think there's some amazing truths in Proverbs chapter 8 that will affect us today. And so we're in Proverbs chapter 8, Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 to 11 we're going to read first. We're going to read 1 through 11, and then 12 to 21, then we're going to skip a little bit. But we're in Proverbs chapter 8, starting in verse 1. It says, "Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud. To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind." Read that again. "I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple gain prudence. You who are foolish shut your hearts on it. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her." Now let's just stop there for a second and look at a couple of these. He starts out with describing the simple first, but before we even get to that, there's this quote that I found this week that kind of highlights this. So I want to start with the church and then look in broader terms. And for the church, I think no words could be louder or true. Adam Clark says, "There are, it is true, temples and synagogues, churches and chapels, but hundreds of thousands never frequent them, and therefore do not hear the voice of truth. Wisdom, therefore, must go to them if she wishes them to review her instructions. Henceforth, the zealous ministers of Christ go still to the highways and the hedges, to the mountains and the plains, to the ships and the cottages, to persuade sinners to turn from their error of their way and accept the redemption which was procured by the sacrificial offering of Jesus Christ." I think sometimes when the church views themselves like my dog Phoebe inside the room and everybody outside of the church who doesn't have what they have as the fox, we're in trouble. Because in actuality, God wants us all found. And starting from that point, we can press into this thing called wisdom. Because wisdom will always draw us to people. We said this before, knowledge without wisdom is just information in your brain, useful for nothing. Unless it helps you help others, it's just a bunch of knowledge. They must be paired together. And we have all kinds of information being thrown at us on a regular basis at this point. And it's very difficult to figure out what is true. And the reality is, if that knowledge leads you away from people, then it's not helpful. If that knowledge leads you away from helping others, then that knowledge is not helpful for you. It takes us away from a place of wisdom. So Solomon starts here focusing in on the simple. This is ironic to me because this has happened to me a number of times in my life, and I'll explain that in a second. But one of the ways in which we separate ourselves is we categorize some people as simple or not smart or not learned and others as brilliant, and somehow one is more important than the other. And I said this in my Encouragement Wednesday this past Wednesday. God wants both of them and needs both of them. If we look at smart people and just assume those of us who are simple, I'm including myself there, if we look at smart people and think, oh, they're so smart that it's leading them to chaos, and conversely, oh, they're so stupid, then we've already lost. And the reality is God wants both. He wants all of his creation to yield and press into him. So Solomon starts with the simple and lays out that wisdom for her detests the wicked. Everything wisdom does is just. There is no crookedness or perverseness in her. The simple, when they find knowledge, they often choose wisdom when they find it. Instruction over gold, knowledge over silver, wisdom over rubies. And here's one of the things that I've noticed. Generally, those who are simple, not in this category, oftentimes find themselves in positions of not having a whole lot of wealth, and the folly of the simple is looking for gold to save them. Looking for wealth to pull them up, as opposed to God. But when the poor and the simple find wisdom and God, generally, they find what they're looking for in their soul. I've seen a number of these clips online, and maybe you've seen them too. Can you give me my next picture? I've seen a bunch of these videos where people go out and they videotape themselves interacting with the poor and people that have wealth as well. And this, here, go back to that picture of the two guys. I watched this the other day. These guys go out on the street and they're asking people for a slice of pizza. They're sitting there, they got a couple slices of pizza, and they go up to somebody and say, "Hey, can I have a slice of pizza? I'm really hungry. I need something to eat." And they're like, "Hey, get out of here, man. Get out of here." And then they walk up to a homeless guy and they give him some extra slices of pizza and they hand it to him and they walk away. And then something magical happens. The next person that walks up is one of these guys that's videotaping. They sits down next to him with a cup and says, "Hey, can I have a slice of pizza?" And the guy opens up his box that he was just given. No idea, he's missing shoes, no socks, just sitting there in the cold. Opens up the box and he hands a slice of pizza to the guy who asks. And then in return, the guy honors his generosity by giving him some money. When the simple look beyond the physical, their soul is met with happiness. And then in so doing, the riches land. So many are looking for the get rich quick mentality, and we saw some of that in the stock market this week. Things that generally won't last, but people in relationship will. Proverbs chapter 8, 12 to 21 says this: I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight, I have power. By me, kings reign and rulers issue decrees that are just. By me, princes govern and nobles, all who rule the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, along the paths of justice, bestowing a rich inheritance on those who love me and making their treasures full. So then he goes on. He talks about these people that are in positions of power, and generally you don't find yourself in positions of power without help of some kind, without getting to a place of some kind of knowledge and discernment. And so I look at this section as the learned or the smart in some category and phrasing. Wisdom dwells with the prudence and sound judgment. And once again, we see this phrase repeated all throughout the Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that concept, once again, is reverence. Reverence for God, not terror, I don't want anything to do with him. Yielding in reverence to him, knowing that you need him, is the concept here. That leads us to a place of hating what is evil. And wisdom hates pride or arrogance. Or better this way, arrogance and pride is a stumbling block to wisdom. When it becomes about you and what you, just everything that you desire, that concept, that mentality stands in the way of wisdom. And wisdom is what you need. Otherwise, you will die in your selfishness. So hate what is evil, cling to what is good. For wisdom brings counsel and sound judgment. The rich oftentimes want to get richer, and that leads them away from people. If it becomes about the riches, it's going to end in folly. But if it becomes about wisdom, once again, we see that riches will be found. The real wealth and prosperity that you're looking for is found in God. I said this in... Let me share this with you. Paradoxically, when wealth is sought, it corrupts. But when wisdom is sought, edifying wealth is given. I said this in my Encouragement Wednesday. I've had the privilege or the pain of several times being told, it's not your fault, you're stupid. I've gotten to the point where I laugh at this point. I'll never forget this guy. Several years ago when I was living in Pennsylvania, I mowed lawns on my day off. And we mowed a lot of amazing, ridiculous lawns. People with wealth out the wazoo. And I'm riding along and the guy I was working for calls me over. And he introduced me to the guy's house we were mowing. His name was John. I'll never forget John. So John asked me what I did, and I told on the side, he found out that I was doing this on the side, and he asked me what I did for full time. I said I was a pastor, and he's like, oh, okay, so you're weak. And I was like, okay, explain. So he began to give me a whole list of the 7 degrees that he had and the 6 books that he had written, and then proceeded to say, it's not your fault, I'm just smarter than you. And I got to be honest, at first I was like, yeah, let me see how smart you are when my fist goes across your chin. Like from the flesh part of Jeff, that's where I was at. But then I thought, man, this guy, I wonder what kind of pain is going on in his life, because he was giving me all his, you know, his highlights and trying to prove that he was better than me, the simple lawn mowing pastor. I'm going to leave that there. We'll come back to it in a second. Let's finish up. The next several verses talk about the history of wisdom. From the beginning of the foundation of the world, God created wisdom. And then he lands in verse 32 through 36 with this. Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise, and do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves, and all who hate me love death. We have a choice. We have a choice to choose the wisdom that God offers or to disregard it completely. It's a choice of ours. One will lead us to enjoying life. The other will lead us to complications and problems throughout the remainder of our lives. It's literally a choice. Fast forward a year later, we're mowing John's lawn again. And I see him out in his driveway and he waves me over. And he begins to tell me how his world is falling apart, how his wife is ready to leave him, how he lost his job. And then he asked me, the lawn mowing pastor, to pray for him, the same guy that he called stupid. Because with Jesus comes peace. With wisdom and understanding comes peace from God. And when the knowledgeable see peace, something that may be unattainable for them to purchase, desire happens. John Trapp says, what is better than life? God's favor is no empty favor. It's not like the winter sun that casts a godly countenance with its shine, but gives little heat or comfort. When we walk through this life, this is very easy for us to see. This morning there was this gorgeous sunrise, and the rays of the sun began to shine. But during the winter, we feel no warmth from them. When we have knowledge apart from wisdom, it's like the sun in winter. It doesn't warm our souls. God created wisdom before the foundation of the world for you and for me, his creation. He desires for us to have it. So we navigate through life and choose people over politics, people over power, people over pride, people over prestige. Because it's for all mankind. Not just me and my comfy, warm house. So I want to land with two quick questions that really we all need at this point. Whether you consider yourself simple or brilliant, God is calling us to choose wisdom. So in what area of your life do you need wisdom today, and are you willing to ask God for it? Are we willing to look beyond ourselves and ask God for what we need to navigate through life in 2021? Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I love that you are simply profound. that your desire and love is for all mankind, that you bestow wisdom on the simple and the brilliant, that you care about us all. Lord, no matter what our walk of life is today, in this moment, at 11:35 on January 31st, 2021, no matter what our circumstance is, we need you. And so, Lord, as we open ourselves up to you and desire the wisdom that you have to offer, I ask that our minds would be open, that our hearts would be ready to receive, that our feet and our mouths would be ready to respond. So our souls can be at peace because we're in desperate need of you today. I pray this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.